În seara asta nu voi încerca să vorbesc cu românește. Nu sunt mulți tineri aici în seara asta. Este un game foarte important și mulți băieți au trebuit să se uite la game în seara asta. Dar voi încerca să vorbesc foarte scurt, o meditație în seara asta. There was a survey that was done recently to find out where would Americans want to spend their New Year's Eve. And most Americans decided that the best place to spend New Year's Eve is in New York City, Times Square, to see a glittering crystal ball fall down as the clock struck 12. Last night, 1 million people, from what I calculated, braved the cold to stay in 10-degree weather to watch this ball drop. Some people started going to gather to that place in Times Square 12 hours in advance. That means at 12 o'clock at noon, they started getting together there. For those who don't know, when I was in college, I have to admit something. I did go to New York City, and I did see the ball drop. And it's not as great as people make it out to be. It was extremely cold. We spent hours waiting, hours to get back. That's another people don't tell you about, to get into the metro, to get back to your car. I hugged strangers for the first 5 minutes that I didn't know who they were. It felt good, I have to admit that. But 20 minutes later, we were in the metro, and we were all strangers again. The feeling went away. Anybody who tells you it's awesome to do that, they have no idea what they're talking about, and don't listen to them. Each country has its New Year's traditions. I found out that in Spain, eating 12 grapes, when a clock strikes 12, 12 grapes for every single month of the year. In Scotland, they swing a fiery ball around for good luck. In Turkey, this is interesting, in Turkey, they wear red underwear on New Year's Eve. In America and in other countries, very famous in America, a tradition for New Year's Eve is to kiss someone at 12 o'clock. In Ecuador, they walk around the block with an empty suitcase on New Year's Eve, symbolizing that they want to travel more that year. In Chile, they go to the cemetery to spend it with their dead relatives on New Year's Eve. In Hungary, eating a special roast pork dinner, I forgot the name of it, is very important in Hungary. They don't eat chicken and fish because it symbolizes flying away and things getting away from you. And pork, for whatever reason, symbolizes bountifulness and success for that coming up year. In Denmark, they smash plates in their neighbor's door. In South Africa, they throw the old furniture out to symbolize starting afresh, new. In Romania, dacă vă spun cât am descoperit numai pentru România, there's a laundry list. One of them is, some people believe in certain parts of the country that you can speak to an animal better during that period of time. You can be an animal whisperer. In other parts of the country, the most famous Romanian tradition is to dress up like a bear or wear fur on you and to go from door to door for evil spirits to go away. It's a crazy tradition that Romania is known for on New Year's Eve. Our church also has a tradition on New Year's Eve. As far back as I can remember, this tradition is to start the new year by praying. And I'm curious, I've been searching to see, there's not a single American church that I know of that starts at 11:50 or 11:55 at 12 o'clock to start with prayer. Does anybody know of an American church, raise your hand, that does this? I know they have services, some of them, at 6 o'clock, but then by 8 o'clock they're all gone. Does anybody know of an American church? Does anybody know of any Romanian churches other than ours that does this? That get together and have prayer at 12 o'clock. In Romania, este? Yeah. Este. Wow, good. Because I thought it was just our church that was doing it. Where does this tradition start from? Why do we do it? There's this principle that some people say, it's called the principle of first fruits. If you look in Leviticus 23:10, And I'm waiting for Christian to help me out with this. In Leviticus 23:10, you start seeing this language that's used in the Bible. Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain. Some of the version says first fruit you harvest. The first fruit, all firsts belong to God. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And at 10 it says, look what it says if you do this. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You'll be blessed. If you look throughout Scripture, you see this is not only for money, but for everything. When the children of Israel were told by God, God told them, you're going to go and conquer the land, the promised land, the 10 cities that they had to conquer. The very first one, God says, whatever you plunder from Jericho, I want you to consecrate it to me. Look what it says in Joshua 6:19. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. The first city that was conquered, Jericho, all the wealth was supposed to go devoted to God. The first fruit. The first fruit is not limited to money. Look what it says in Exodus 13, 11 through 13. In fact, some people, if you look at your Bible, it says the law of the firstborn. It's a principle here. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised, an oath to you and your ancestors, 12, you are to give over to the Lord the first offering of every womb. All the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. 13, redeem with a lamb every firstborn donkey, but if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. This concept of first fruit, first things, devoted things, is told 32 times in Scripture. The first fruit means the beginning, the first in place, the first in time, the first in order, the first in rank. God always lays claim to it, especially in the Old Testament, but it's also mentioned in the New Testament. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all things will be added. God claims the first in all things. It rightfully belongs to him. Some people call it the principle of first fruit, giving to God what is first. What I've discovered as I'm getting older is there's a valuable asset, though. It's called time. Time. I don't care if you're middle class, if you're a millionaire, or if you're a billionaire. If you're told that you have a couple of weeks to live, you've got cancer, you'll pay enormous amounts of money. If you're a millionaire, millions, billionaire, billions, just to have more time. A couple more weeks, please. Time is something that's extremely precious. It's the most valuable asset we might have. By starting with prayer on New Year's Eve, for the first couple of minutes, we are giving to God our first fruit of our time. By giving him the first minutes of the new year, I believe, and I thought about this, instead of kissing your spouse, as the American tradition is, or to hug your children, or to scream Happy New Year, those first couple of minutes, that time of the first new year, giving it to him, I believe we are honoring him, and we're thanking him for the time that he has given us. I can't share with you tonight, but personally, while we were in Romania, I'll share with you in a message in the future. God protected our family. We could have had a death. And God was good and gave my daughter more time. Are you kidding me? Can I not give him a little bit of time at the beginning of the year? I have a right to think about myself for New Year's more than the rest of you. You know why? It's my birthday. Thank you. I have a right to have a party on my birthday. With my family, personally. But we don't do that. Because I want my children to see. I want my children never to forget that we can schedule a birthday party anytime we want. But we want to acknowledge that God is a priority. The first few minutes of the year belong to Him. I want my kids never to forget that. That's why we do it. Now, I want to be very clear. There is no biblical requirements to do this. You're not going to lose your salvation if you don't do this. In fact, the first fruit offering, and I'll be very clear, was specifically to the Jews for a specific purpose. I don't believe in superstition, but I do believe that if you do give God the first, He will bless you. I also believe that this New Year's tradition that this church has, our church has, and other remaining churches have, is a good tradition. I believe God is honored by our church giving the first valuable minutes of the new year in prayer to Him. I don't think that this church tradition will be followed 10 years from now. As less people participate in it, less people show up, as we become more Americanized, family members, friends tell us what to do with our schedule instead of us telling them that no, this is the schedule we're going to have. But I want to provoke you, challenge you tonight, especially I was hoping the youth would be here. Even if our church doesn't do this tradition 10 years from now, make this tradition your own. That wherever you find yourself, 20 years, 30 years from now, at a party, in New York City, at someone's home, anywhere, when that clock strikes 12, give to God those first minutes, praying, acknowledging, thanking Him, honoring Him. I believe He will bless you. God bless us all. Amen.